Greetings, everyone, in the name of the Lord. This is Perry Stone, and I want to thank you for joining me for a very special teaching on the Manifest Telecast. And this title is called Restraining the Angel of Death. And someone said, well, when it comes your appointed time, you're going to die at that moment. Well, that's true in most cases, but in the Bible, one man died and came back, and another man actually extended his years. So what we're going to talk about is this, is when a person is in a situation of near-death situation, how does God help that person? Why is it that some people live to be 85, 90, 95 years of age? Others pass away in their 60s. And we can't answer all these questions because some of them have huge theological debates that have been associated with them over the years. But we're going to deal with this. But the main verse I want to go to is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And it's a verse that has always stuck in my spirit. And it's going to come up on the screen. I want you to pay careful attention to what this verse says. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and when a person fears the Lord, they will do everything they can in their ability and in their power to disassociate themselves from things that are harming their body, which the Bible says is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they will disassociate themselves from sins that actually could cause danger in their life. And all sin is dangerous in one way or another. But let me just show you something here. Six ways that you can die before your time. And I've asked our team to put this up on the screen where you can follow me. Dying by alcohol, which is alcohol disease, such as cirrhosis of the liver, or in automobile accidents through drinking alcohol. 25% of all traffic related deaths are connected to alcohol or drinking or drunk drivers. Think about that for just a moment. You can die by drug overdoses. 98,000 people die on an average per year by a drug overdose, meaning they didn't intend to take their life, but they overdosed or they took a drug that was laced with something that actually killed them that they were not aware was going to take place. Number three, dying by criminal activity. 19,000 people were victims of criminal activity just in 1 year alone, meaning the criminal activity led to their premature death. Dying by suicide, and this one is so dangerous, it's becoming more and more frequent, but 47,500 people took their own lives just recently in 1 year. Dying by just accidents in general. Now, this is non-alcoholic related traffic accidents. 42,900 people died in 1 year by traffic accidents. That would be a tire blew out and they flipped their car, head-on collisions, crossing the line, just a lot of different ways that accidents can happen. I know you're familiar with that. If you've ever traveled as much as I have, we've come across so many accidents over the years. And finally, and we have to put number six in here, is dying by diseases such as heart trouble, cancer. Now, most of the time, people that have cancer that pass away with cancer did nothing to bring the cancer on unless they had a habit such as smoking that brought on cancer of the lungs or esophagus or things of that nature. Heart attacks, on the other hand, can be caused by stress. Men's hearts fail them for fear of looking after those things which are coming to pass on the earth, Jesus said. And it can also be caused by not eating properly and heart blockages and things of that nature. The point is that there are many ways that you can actually reduce the time that you live on earth by how that you are living and treating your physical body. Now, let's go to some scriptures here. There was a man by the name of Job that lost everything he had, right? Now, he was a wealthy man, 10 children, thousands of animals, livestock, people respected him, homes. He was just the greatest man in the East is what the scripture introduces him as in Job chapter 1. But then when he lost everything he had, we go to Job chapter 3. Chapter 1 is the attack of Satan. Chapter 2 continues a physical attack of Satan on him. We come to chapter 3 and we come to these verses. Job is so down and depressed by what has happened that he says this, "Why did I not die from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost or give up the spirit from the belly?" In other words, why did I not have a premature death? And he mentions this In Job chapter 3 and verse 16, he says this, or speaking about his own life, as an untimely birth, I had not been, as infants which never saw the light. So he's in such a state of despondency because he has lost everything he has materially. He has lost 10 children, and he has also lost his health at this point. So now he's reflecting, saying, it would have been better for me not to have been born, or when my mother was pregnant, for somehow to her to have a miscarriage. Now, that's what he's actually saying here. And a person who's watching me will only get that despondent when there is a spirit of hopelessness, or when their circumstances has come to the point where they feel that there's no way out of their particular situation. All right, now, notice what Job admitted in verse 23. He admitted that God had hedged him in. And you can read Job chapter 1, that when Satan tried to get onto Job's property, Satan said to God, you have put a hedge around him. So Satan could see this hedge that was protecting Job from any kind of harm, danger, or health situation. So Job admitted, God has hedged me in. So he then knew that although he didn't see the hedge, that he had been protected by the Lord from any harm, danger, or sickness. Then he said that he had given life, but he was now bitter in his soul, Job chapter 3, verse 20. So everything is great in chapter 1, the first part. Satan hits him in chapter 2. And again, we use the chapter verses here to give you a point of reference to the story. By the time he's lost everything, he's got boils breaking out in his body. Now he's bitter in his soul. Then he said, let the day perish when I was born, and the night when it said a man child was born, Job 3 and 3. Now here's the point that I want to make. And I want to make a statement, which is as the young people often say, wow, that's a tweetable moment. And here is the statement. There are people presently dying who want to live, and there are people who are now living who wish they could die. I'm going to say it again. There are those dying in hospitals who are really wanting to live. They wouldn't be in the hospital trying to get help if they didn't want to live. But there are people living that are into addictions or alcohol or drugs or such despondency that they, as Job got to, wish they would have died. Now, if Job would have died, as he talked about in chapter 3, if he would have died even during the trial, because he got so despondent, he just said, you know, Lord, the Lord just need to take him. What would have happened? You go to the end of Job, the book of Job in chapter 42, and it said, God blessed Job with twice as much in the end as he had in the beginning. He gave him all of his children back, all of his property back, double the animals back. And Job would have literally missed out on a blessing in the future had he died prematurely. And this is the thing about people who take their life. They get despondent at the moment. They see no way out. Depression hits them. And sometimes it can be, we know from advertisements on television, depression can be caused, or suicidal thoughts, I should say, can be caused by certain medicine. So they get depressed and take their life, not realizing that they are just about to go through a breakthrough or just about to have a breakthrough. That's why I encourage people, don't let the enemy deceive you to go out prematurely of this life, because God is able that quick, just like he did with Job, to turn things around and bring you out of the situation that you're in. Now, what I want to talk about for a few moments is, if you go back before the time of the flood, men lived to be very, very long before the time of the flood. And scholars give numerous explanations for that that we won't have time to get into. But notice this. Adam lived a total of 930 years. His son Seth lived a total of 912 years. All this is in Genesis chapter 5. Enos lived 905 years. Canaan lived 910 years. Methuselah lived 969 years of age. Now, there are people today that say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I can't help it if you don't believe that, because the biblical record indicates that. And that's not a metaphor. That's not an analogy. That's not an embellishment, because this was right at the time. You know, if men would have eaten from the tree of life, they would have lived forever, according to the Bible. So we don't know what the earth was like then. When the flood came, there was atmospheric changes. There was changes in the air, the atmosphere, the earth, the water. There was so many changes that took place that when we look at man's age was reduced. And now, according to the book of Psalms, you can live 70 by reason of strength, 80. Some go less than 70 and 80. Some go more than 70 and 80. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But by the time you get to the days of Moses, the time frame of men living was reduced to 120 years, and of course Psalms 90 and 10, and this was the generation of the wilderness, 70 by reason of strength, 80. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. We know that there is an angel of death. We know that there is a spirit called death and hell, which is an actual spirit. The Greek word is Hades, and it was a spirit that was known among the ancient Greeks. It's also a word which is found in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament. It's translated as hell in the English translation of the Bible. So we know that death is a spirit and death is an angel. In the book of Exodus, when the angel was coming through, God called it the destroyer because it was bringing death to the firstborn that were not under the protective power of the blood of the Lamb. That's in Exodus chapter 12. But here's how death gets to be restrained. In Hebrews 9:27 says, it's appointed unto a person once to die, and after that the judgment. So you are appointed to death. There's no question about that. Everybody has that appointment. But the appointment can be altered or changed through different situations. For example, Lazarus died and was dead 4 days. Christ came and resurrected him from the dead, which is one of the probably is the greatest miracle in the Bible outside of Christ's resurrection, of course. And we don't know how long Lazarus lived after he was resurrected. There's no biblical record of that or historical record of that. But he did die again later. He didn't live forever, of course, okay? Then we have Hezekiah, which is found in Isaiah chapter 38 mentions this, and also there's other references. King Hezekiah had what appeared to be some type of a cancer that had broken out on his body. And the prophet Isaiah said, you shall die, set your house in order. And Hezekiah basically turned his face to the wall, which where his palace was would have been turning his face toward the direction of the Holy of Holies at the temple that Solomon had built. And he began to weep and began to pray. And when Isaiah left the inner chamber of Hezekiah's palace, by the time he got to the court, the outer court of the the palace area, God stopped him and said, go back and tell him I'm going to add 15 more years to his life. So Hezekiah is an example that we know from Isaiah 30, I've got the reference here, 38 and 5, that he was given 15 more years. So there is a man that restrained the angel of death through prayer and intercession. So his prayer and intercession caused there to be an altering in the appointment of his death of when he was going to die. It's one of the best examples in the Bible. In the ministry of Jesus, Jesus started his public ministry according to St. Luke's gospel when he was about 30 years of age, which was the same age that a man was to be when he entered the priesthood. You were to be age 30, according to the book of Numbers. When Jesus started his ministry, he ministered probably for about 3.5 years before he was crucified at Passover, near Passover. And during those 3.5 years, there were numerous times that he could have died. He could have been pushed off the cliff in Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, but instead God somehow blinded the people's eyes and he walked between them and went his way protected. He could have been drowned in a boat in Galilee that was filled with water, but the boat kept floating. He could have been stoned in Jerusalem several times, but he escaped that. And there were numerous times that he escaped premature death. And the reason he did, and John is the only gospel writer that mentions this, he uses this phrase, his hour, that means his hour of testing and death had not yet come. So when your hour has not yet come, this is important to hear, when your hour has not yet come, there can be things happen to you that God prevents you from passing away because your assignment is not completed. I preached a message a while back called Protected by Your Assignment, and your assignment has a certain protection on you. I mean, when I was a kid, we were in a car accident that going 55 miles an hour, no seat belts back then. That was in the early 1961, 62, right around there. And I hit the dashboard at 55 miles an hour, and Dad crashed into the back of a truck and knocked the shoes off my feet, but I didn't even have a broken bone in my body. That was a miracle of God. We were in a King Air 421 plane, lost an engine 15,000 feet in the air at night, which is the worst time to lose an engine in a plane. And we miraculously, with God's help and a good pilot, landed the plane. And I could tell you several instances where we were near premature death. We were about to take off in our ministry plane. It's a prop airplane, two-prop airplane. And right on the landing strip, I felt a bump, 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 and I said, we got a flat tire, Pam. And I yelled at the pilot, and he said, something's just happened. So we get off the plane, and the front tire of the plane which is connected to your landing gear, had come off of the rim. Apparently, the air, you know, it had lost some air. It was a lot of heat. It could have expanded or whatever. But it came off right before takeoff. And I said, what would have happened if we'd have taken off? He said, if we'd have taken off, tried to land this, it would have no doubt collapsed the landing gear, destroyed a lot of the plane, and could have harmed us. So God protected us because we had an assignment to be at a place to preach. And that's how I was taught by my father. That's how I was taught by the Holy Spirit. And that's how I was taught by the Word. Because then it says later that when Jesus' hour came, what happened? Death was able to come to him. So he escaped until his hour to die came. Peter was about to be beheaded in the book of Acts chapter 12. He escaped supernaturally through the help of an angel. And the reason he escaped is because in John 21 and 28, Jesus told him he would live to be a very old man. He wasn't an old man yet. So he's there sleeping in the prison, chained, you know, in the prison, because he knows he can't be beheaded in the morning the way Herod is planning, because he's not an old man yet. So you fight with your assignment and you fight with prophecy. That's how you restrain the angel of death, is saying, wait a minute, I've got things God told me I'm going to do. I can't leave this world yet. Or you fight the way Peter did, saying, you know what, God promised, he promised me, he told me I would live to be old. I'm not old yet, so I'm not going anywhere. Amen. Now, there is a key to living old, and I want to talk about this for just a moment. I'm going to give you a verse. It's going to come on the screen. And for the first time in my ministry of 46 years of preaching, I see this verse from a different application, and I have to share it with you. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. Now, that's mortal body, Spirit dwelling in you, present tense. Okay, this is not about... this will happen at the resurrection, yes, but this is not about the resurrection. This is about now. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to, of the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you live to the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of your body, and you shall live. Now, I'm going to give you a story of a very precious woman named B. Ogle, who is a spiritual mother to me. And I'm like a son to her. Her and her husband, Elroy, never had children. So I was like her son. And she became our head intercessor in 1981 during a 4.5-week revival at the Pulaski Church of God. Through her leadership, she raised up 1,500 women called the Daughters of Rachel to pray for ministries, pastors, our ministry, our protection. And I can't tell you the number of times we called her Aunt B, would be in prayer, and she would get a warning. Even when my plane lost the engine, she didn't see that, but she was awakened by the Lord to pray for 45 minutes for our protection, because the Lord said I was in danger of death. I could tell you all kinds of stories. Now, B is now in her very early 90 years of age. And to my knowledge, she up until recently, she had no sickness hardly in her life. She was healthy her entire life. She was always full of joy, always involved in the church. Now, I believe what I'm going to tell you. I read that verse one day, that the Holy Spirit quickens your mortal body when it dwells in you. I have noticed something about what we call the old timers. Now, many of you were not raised in a church the way I was, where there was a lot of, when I was growing up, old-time people. And old-time is not a disrespectful word. That's a respectful word about old-time saints, old-time believers. We call them Eagle Saints at the Omega Center International. But they lived to be in their late 70s, in their 80s, and some in their 90s. And yet they continue to function. I have noticed something about all of them that live to be old and can continue to function. They are prayer warriors. They are intercessors, and they are quickened by the Holy Spirit. We have a lady that's with Omega Center International that's in her late 80s, and I'm telling you, every time you get near her, the Spirit of God quickens her. And if you've never seen the quickening, the Greek word quicken means to make alive. It's the energy of the Holy Spirit. Some would call it the anointing of the Holy Spirit that comes on your body. And the old timers, and if you've never seen this, they're shouting Baptists, they're shouting Methodists, there's even shouting Catholics, okay? And when I say shouting, I don't mean making noise, but I'm telling you, the Spirit of God comes on them and quickens them. If you've never seen it, it's not emotionalism. It's the quickening power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwelling in their mortal body. And what happens is it re-energizes the human body. Let me say that again. The quickening of the Holy Spirit re-energizes the human body. You can go to church totally tired, be quickened by the Holy Spirit, and you get out feeling like you've had 8 hours of sleep. You can preach very exhausted, which I have done hundreds of times, and the Spirit of God come on you, and you just feel like that you are a brand new person, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And I know at this present time of this taping, I'm 64 years of age, and that's 64 years young, by the way. And so being 64 years of age, you know, you feel the little joint things, the little things in the knee. You all know what I'm talking about if you're in your 60s, I'm sure. But then when I'm ministering and preaching, I feel nothing whatsoever because the energy of God, the anointing of God, the quickening power of the Holy Spirit is on our mortal body. One of the ways that you live long, one of the ways that you extend your days is through what we call the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Now, again, the scripture in Romans, let's bring that up again, the scripture in Romans, that the Spirit of God quickens our mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in us. I used to think that's the resurrection. God's going to raise us from the dead, quicken our mortal body. No, that's your mortal body now. So what you need to do is you need to become filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to pray in the prayer language of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be in prayer meetings and services where the quickening power of God is, and you allow the Holy Spirit to quicken your mortal body, to make alive and to energize your mortal body. And that is one of the ways that you can keep sickness and disease. It doesn't mean that if you have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get sick. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying, but it does help you to overcome the sickness, the disease, to overcome the weakness, to overcome the physical things. And boy, I wish I had more time to preach this, but my dad, who lived in his late 70s, and T.L. Lowry, who lived to be in his 80s, walked in the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And one of their secrets to living a long life and defeating that old death angel was the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. My time's about it. Listen, I want you to watch the offer, and I want you to stay with me to tell you where I'm going to be coming to. Be back in a minute.
Humanity's final battle is being set in array, merging men with super advanced technology, commonly known as artificial intelligence or AI. This new and at times frightening technology is said to be the greatest advancement of man's imagination since the beginning of humanity, but it comes with warnings from experts and developers. While AI can be used to deter crime, track criminals, and search for information at breathtaking speed, AI could eventually take over 80% of human jobs, replacing them with computers and robots. With AI, nothing about your private life, your finances, job, or family will be hidden. In the future, a male or female humanoid robot can become a walking, talking, live-in companion. Wealthy men are hoping AI will create the possibility of eternal life. According to experts, there are great dangers ahead. Uncontrolled AI systems could eventually destroy humanity. AI could also become a scammer's dream, using fake pictures, videos, voices, and accounts to blackmail innocent victims or transfer funds. In Perry Stone's explosive new prophecy book, Artificial Intelligence Versus God, he reveals what others who have written about AI have missed, including five ways in which AI will be brought to utter uselessness in the future, as God, the creator of mankind, will have the final say as to when nature itself will release unrestrained destruction that will silence both man's modern technology and the electronic systems required for AI to function. Perry's new book presents stunning quotes, biblical word studies, and ancient history to document all the book's eye-opening information. He explains how an ancient clash in Eden and a massive tower in the plains of Shinar conceal huge historical parallels, repeating themselves during AI development. Perry explores whether the economic mystery Babylon mentioned in Revelation 18 could be the new AI city being planned in Arabia. Is China cryptically alluded to in Revelation 12 by the symbol of the great red dragon? Will men and women marry companion robots in the future? Could the image of the beast in Revelation 13 be an advanced AI creation built to introduce a new religion and to be worshipped as a god? Perry exposes the goal of transhumanism and will shock readers by revealing positive proof of five ways God will allow mankind's most advanced technologies to fail in the future. Perry's new book, Artificial Intelligence Versus God, is now available through Perry Stone Ministries. The offer number is BK-036, and you can request your copy for a donation of $25 or more. order one of three ways, by calling toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, or online at perrystone.org. You may also send your donation of $25 or more to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320, and request offer number BK-036. This new landmark book is only available through Perry Stone Ministries. Get your copy today so you and your family are prepared for the future of AI technology. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You know, for so many weeks, we've been offering the book Artificial Intelligence Versus God. And thank you for those of you that are commenting on how much you have learned and things that you did not know that you read in the book. That's why we print books, so that you can kind of underline and use highlighters and get that information kind of in your heart and spirit. And I hope you'll get, if you can get more than one copy, you come to a conference and maybe you get a couple copies, we hope that you'll share it with other people, including your friends and even your family members that are not Christians, might read this book, because the content is extremely interesting and it's going to happen. It's happening now, but it's going to happen even more intense in the very near future. So let me just mention to you that if you will go to perrystone.org, you can see the entire itinerary of where we're going to be ministering in the next couple months. We do want to remind you that we are going to have the Prophetic Summit and Warrior Fest. And at some point, there's a cutoff time because we can only get so many people inside of our facility. So you have to register. There's no fee to attend. There's no registration fee, but you have to register. And if you decide you can't come to these events once you've registered, please contact our office and tell them to cancel your ticket. And the ticket, of course, is your way of getting in. And so that way that we can get other folks in if you're not able to attend. It's going to be an interesting year. It already has started out to be an interesting year. And stay informed with us through all of our social media outreaches. God bless all of you. Thank you for your prayers.
Warrior Fest is back and is bigger than ever, with an incredible lineup of teaching, worship, and ministry. This is the event you cannot miss. Mark your calendars for April 5th through 7th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Warrior Fest 2024 includes impactful preaching from Perry Stone, Chris Estrada, Tony Suarez, Nick Walker, and Amanda Stone, with worship from Catherine Mullins, Eddie James, Lydia Morrow, and dance from Awakened Dance Team and Jacob's Tent Dance Team. Visit perrystone.org to register now for this free event. Come encounter the power of presence, the authority of anointing, and the strength of unity at the place where lambs become lions.
Perry Stone invites you to the most anticipated weekend in biblical prophecy. Join us April 25th through 28th at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee for the 2024 International Prophetic Summit. Come hear the latest prophetic insights from Perry Stone, Jonathan Kahn, Lance Wallnau, Bill Cloud, Mark Biltz, and Billy Crone. Go to perrystone.org to sign up now. Don't miss the biggest prophetic event of the year, the 2024 Prophetic Summit. Register now.